Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. I've got Anselm here with me, and we're working on Lesson 5 from the book Homeric Greek for Beginners by Clyde Farr. And just a quick explanation about what we're doing in these lessons. Basically, you need to study the vocabulary on your own at home, and once you've memorized all the vocabulary for the lesson, then we're going to explain all the grammar in the lesson. And most importantly, we're going to go through all the exercises because there's no answer key in the book. So we're going to go through and work through the exercises so that way you can compare your work at home with what we do on the exercises. So this chapter is starting us out with conjugating our first verbs in Greek. This is just the most basic conjugation of the verb, the present, indicative, active, of just normal verbs that end in the omega in the first person singular. So in Greek, when you look up words in the dictionary, they're listed under this form right here, the first person singular. Whereas like in Spanish, when you look up verbs, it's the infinitive that you would find, like hablar, comer, vivir, things like that. Here you would look up the first person singular. So this particular verb is the one that everybody loves to use to demonstrate how this works. And it basically means I free or I release or I let go or something like that. So basically the way this chart works is that we have our singulars here and we have our plurals here as labeled here. And then we have first person, second person, and third person. So first person is myself. Mm-hmm. Second person is who I'm talking to, and then third person is someone else altogether.
Yeah.
So basically, this right here would mean I free. Mm. This would be, because it's singular, first person, I. First person plural would be we free, okay? And then this would be you free, singular, you plural, free or release. And then number three would be he frees, or it could mean she frees, or it releases, they release. Okay, third person plural would be they. Now here's the thing, in English, every sentence has to have a subject and a verb. Whereas in Greek, you don't necessarily have to have a subject. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say I release, because just the word for release itself already has the I built in, because if it ends in an omega, then you know, okay, Leo means I release. Leis means you release. Leyi, he, she, or it releases. So they could have a subject or they could not have a subject. So if we just have by itself, Leyi, it can either mean he releases, she releases, it releases. But you could also say, you know, Anselm Leyi, and then it means like Anselm releases. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how this chart breaks down right here. So we have Leo, Leis, Leyi, Leomen, Leite, and Leusi. Of course, we're using modern Greek pronunciation. Then we have the dual form. Now, for the present active indicative, there's only one dual form, okay? And it works for the second person or the third person. So it's not gonna be first person, not like two of us. So this leotone can mean one of two things. It can either mean you two release or they two release. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And if you remember, we're not really emphasizing the dual forms too much. If you're a more advanced student, then definitely you'll want to learn the dual forms because you're going to run into them when you read Homer. But they're not found in classical Greek. They're not found in New Testament Greek. It's only in the old Homeric stuff that you're going to run into this dual form. And it doesn't appear in the exercises.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But good to know that that's what that is. So let's get a little practice real quick. Okay. So we understand what this chart means. It's just like in Spanish, by the way. And by the way, these endings are pretty similar to Spanish. Because if we think about like the Spanish verb, I eat, como, it ends in an O in the first person. Como, I eat, comes, come, comemos, omen, amos. So you can see a lot of connection here.
Yeah.
So if you know Spanish, you have a great advantage for learning Greek. Okay, so that's that right there. So let's get a little practice. I've listed a whole bunch of other verbs here that we're going to be using in the first part of the Iliad. So let's just practice just verbally conjugating these, okay? So go ahead and read that word for me right there.
Aido.
So aido means I sing. Okay, so what if I wanted to say you singular sing?
Aidis.
Right. He sings?
Aidi.
Right. We sing?
Aido men.
Y'all sing?
Aidete.
Right. Aidete. And then they sing?
Aidusi.
Aidusi. Okay, so here's how accent. I know you're kind of burned out on accents after lesson four. That was pretty brutal. So we're not going to talk too much about accents. We already did all that in lesson four. But here's how accents work on verbs. Remember how we said on nouns and adjectives that the accents are persistent?
Yep.
They want to stay on the syllable where they started? Well, on verbs, it's different. Typically with verbs, the accent wants to just go as close to the beginning of the word as it can. Mm-hmm. So it wants to recede to the front of the word as far as it can, as far as the rules will allow. Mm. Okay. Now, in this particular case, the rules allow it to be on the first syllable, so that's where it always is. Some of these, it's not going to be the case, because, for example, aido, this is a long, so this is as close to the front as it can be. Mm. It can only be on the second to last because this is a long vowel. Same thing with andano, right? Here, the second to last is the first.
Yeah, I see.
But anyway, it ends up being in the same spot on most of these present tense verbs, which makes it pretty nice. It usually comes like right on the last syllable of the stem. Mm-hmm. Because you basically have the stem, li, and then you have endings. O, is, e, omen, ete, usi. The accent in this present active indicative ends up coming like on the last syllable of the stem, aido. Andano, atimazo, mm-hmm. and so forth. Okay. And what do we mean by present active indicative? Well, we don't really need to worry too much about that. For now, just think of it as this is just your basic present tense verb. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll get more into like what active and indicative means when we actually start dealing with, you know, the opposite of those things. So anyway, so we got aido, which means I sing. Then we've got andano. Andano means like I please. Or I delight. Mm-hmm. So just cranking through these forms, it would be andano, andanis, andani, andanomen, andanete, andanusi. Those are the forms we're going to see, right? Okay, you want to just crank through the forms on this one?
Atimazo, atimazis, atimazi, atimazomen, atimazete, atimazusi.
Exactly. So veno, venis, veni, venomen, venete, venusi. All right, and then echo means, oh, by the way, atimazo means I dishonor. Uh-huh. Veno means I go or I come.
Yep.
And then echo means?
I have.
You want to crank through this one?
Echo, echis, echi, echomen, echete, echusi.
Echusi, yep. And then we've got keo, which means I burn.
Yep.
Okay, you want to go through that one?
Keo, keis, kei. Keomen, keete, keusi.
And then oleko is I kill or I destroy. Oleko, olekis, oleki, olekomen, olekete, olekusi. Pempo means I send, or it could also mean like I conduct or I escort. Mm-hmm. Want to go through that one?
Pembo, pembis, pembi, pembomen, pembete, pembusi.
All right, very good. So, yeah, so basically, the pronunciation on this one with the modern pronunciation, the MP actually can either make a MB sound. I said pempo, but really it's like you said, pembo is better. But basically, sometimes they just do it as just a B too, just pebo. So anyway, that's out there. All right, with the modern pronunciation. Okay, and then teleo means I finish or I bring to an end, or it can mean like I fulfill or I accomplish. Mm-hmm. So this would be teleo, telis, telii, teleomen, teleite, teleusi. And then lastly, tefcho. Tefcho is like I do or I make or I perform. So you want to do that one?
Tefcho, tefris, tefri, tefromen, tefrete, tefrosi.
So that's it. I mean, this, honestly, I think lesson five is a pretty easy lesson. Pretty basic, especially if you know Spanish. Piece of cake. So let's get to the exercises. All right, so here we've got our exercises from Greek into English. All right, so the first one here. Aidomen voulas theaon polaon. What does that mean?
It means we sing the counsels of many goddesses.
Yep, we sing the plans or the counsels of many goddesses. Okay, number two. Klangi dini kakis thalassis uch andani psihi theas.
So the terrible sound of the bad sea doesn't please the soul of the goddesses.
Not goddesses.
Of the goddess.
Yep, it's singular. Yeah. Exactly. The S on the end can kind of fool you, but remember, there the other word that you might confuse it with is theos with the accent like that, which would be plural accusative. Mm-hmm. This, on the other hand, is singular genitive. Yeah. So the soul of it isn't pleasing to the soul of the goddess, right? Mm-hmm. The terrible uproar of the evil sea or whatever, right? Okay. So number three, tis atimazi kalas theas.
Who dishonors the good kalas theas, the good goddess?
Yeah, well, because I wrote it on the board, but really I could just see the difference. Yeah. This is that accusative plural.
The good goddesses. Mm.
So this is plural.
Yeah.
And that's accusative plural, right? So it's who dishonors the beautiful goddesses, yeah, right? Tis atimazi kalas theas. And then remember, there's no a, an, and the in Homer, so we can supply those whenever we want. So, okay, so number four, uk atimazomen patrin fili goddestin.
We don't dishonor our fatherland.
Right.
Our homeland. Because it is dear.
Because it is dear or beloved. Now, I will say this. So in this book, they teach us that the meaning of this word is like dear or beloved or lovely. Mm-hmm. And that is what it's going to mean in book one of the Iliad.
Okay.
But just to make you aware of it, that in other ancient literature in the Homeric style, like, for example, the Homeric hymns, you're going to see that this word often does not just mean dear or beloved or lovely, but that often it just means one's own. It can just mean your own. Like, because otherwise you'd be reading along in the Homeric hymns or something, and it would say, like, you know, she did something with her dear hands, but it really means like she did it with her own hands.
Oh, okay.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So you could also translate this, if you were reading Homeric stuff, it could be translated as like, you know, we don't dishonor the fatherland because it is our own.
Yeah.
You know, but in this book, we're learning it as like beloved, lovely, dear, because that's what we're going to run into in book one of the Iliad.
Okay.
But I'm just making you aware that it can also just mean your own. So it's just another definition of that word in Homeric Greek. All right, so number five. So Venusin ek kilis is chrisin.
They go out of Scylla into Chrysi.
Yep, exactly. And then number six, Keusi piras polas and Chrysi epi thalassi.
They burn many fires in Chrysi at the sea.
Yep, in Chrysi by the sea. Yep, very good. Echumen polas ke kalas vulas.
We have many and good plans.
Okay, so I want to say one thing about this here. Literally, it's we have many and good plans. Okay, but there's a phenomenon that's going to happen a lot in ancient Greek, and here's the fancy word for it. It's called hendiadys, okay? Which basically is from Greek because hen means one. Mm-hmm. It's like one by means of two. Mm-hmm. So that's what hendiadys is, one by means of two. And what that basically means is that when it says here, you know, we have many and good plans, what it really means is we have many good plans.
Yeah. Mm.
So you wouldn't really end up translating the and here.
I see.
You'd say we have many good plans. Mm-hmm. So the way you did it was what it literally says, but that's what it means, is just we have many good plans. So number 8, Kaete piras en patri? And it's a question.
Do you burn fires in the fatherland?
Yep, exactly. And then for number 9, they just gave us like a list of words here. So you want to just translate these?
So you lose or set free, we free, they free, you free.
Yeah, exactly. Just you release, we release, they release, y'all release. And then number 10, olekomen psychas polas kekakas and patri fili. And remember, this right here, this polas kekakas, is going to be another example of hendiadys. So make sure that you translate it that way.
We kill many bad souls in the beloved homeland.
Exactly right. And then number 11, tis pebi theas es chrisin. It's a question. So, tis pebi theas es chrisin.
Who sends the goddesses into chrisin?
Yes, because this right here, this S, is the same thing as Is.
Oh, it's just the...
This is in Homeric, it's usually S.
Okay.
But it can go either way, actually.
Yep.
So you'll see both of these. Hmm. So it could either be who sends the goddesses to Chrysi, or it could be who escorts or conducts the goddesses to Chrysi. Now, I ran out of room on the board, so let's just do the last couple just verbally, okay? So I'm just going to read them off to you, and we can just do these orally. So let's see. Number 12, teliete voulas kalas patri fili. I'll show it to you so you can see it. Teliete voulas kalas patri fili. What's that mean?
You accomplish the good plans. It's dative, patri fili. Right?
So it's dative, so what it could be is two or four.
Yeah.
So it could be like for the beloved fatherland. So this would be like what's called the dative of advantage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for the advantage of the fatherland in that sense, right? So you accomplish good plans for the sake of the fatherland. That'd be like a dative of advantage. Mm-hmm. That's one way that you could translate that. And then 13, it could also be like locative, like in the beloved fatherland. Mm. But then, you know, you'd kind of expect N, but not necessarily so.
Okay.
Okay, so 13, we've got teliomen vulin filis theas.
We accomplish the plan of the beloved goddess.
Yep, you got it. And then number 14, tefchomen pirin.
We make fires.
We make fire. All right, and then number 15, tiferete, tiferusin.
What do you bring? What do they bring?
Exactly. All right, so now let's go ahead and do the English into Greek exercises. All right, so now we're going to be translating English into Homeric Greek. Now, there's no answer key, and we're doing these on the fly, so bear with us. We're going to kind of check each other out here, and also just if you're at home and we make any mistakes, just let us know in the comments. All right, so let's do this. So number one, you're going to do, who is singing the evil plans of the fair goddesses? So just start out with like, who is singing the evil plans? And then I'm gonna do number 2, the roar of the sea is pleasing to the soul of the goddess in Scylla. All right, so let's work on this here. And just let me know if I need to reread your sentence to you. That's a lot to remember. So you're doing, who is singing the evil plans of the fair goddesses? It's a question.
Roar of the sea. Okay, the roar of the sea is pleasing. Okay.
Tephris in Silla.
All right. Sorry, there's more to that, I think.
Okay.
Who is singing the evil plans of the fair goddess? Oh, you did everything. Okay. Well, we'll go over your answer later. Let's just write them all out now. Okay, so you're going to do number 3 now, actually.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do number 4. So we'll go over, there's a few things, but we'll go over it in a minute. All right, so number 4. Let me give you number 3. Number 3, we do not dishonor the goddesses of our dear fatherland. We do not dishonor the goddesses of our dear fatherland. And then I'm doing, are you going from Chrysa to Scylla by sea? I'm going to go plural, are you going? Are you going?
Sorry, what's that? We don't dishonor?
Okay, so it's we don't dishonor the goddesses of our dear fatherland. And you don't have to do the our. So it's just we don't dishonor the goddesses of the dear fatherland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then what was I doing again? Are you going from Chrysa to Scylla? Are you going from Chrysa to Scylla by the sea? Meaning that Scylla is by the sea. Whoops. Thalassi. Okay. I got that. Okay, so yours again was we do not dishonor the goddesses of our dear fatherland. Are you going from Chrysa to Scylla by the sea? Tell me when you're ready for number 5.
Yes.
Okay, number 5. The goddesses come from the sea into Scylla. The goddesses come from the sea into Scylla. And then I'm doing number 6. They're burning funeral pyres in the fatherland. Okay, so number 5 was the goddesses come from the sea into Scylla.
Okay.
Okay, I got this dumb. We loosen, you loosen, they loosen, he loosens. All right, so you're doing what? Number 7? They have many fair plans. They have many fair plans. And then I'm going to do over here number 10, which is we escort the goddesses into the dear fatherland. Number 12, he is making a funeral pyre. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Number 9, the goddess destroys many wicked souls. All right, and then I'll do number 13. What does he bring? Okay, so number 9 is the goddess destroys many wicked souls. And then I'm just going to squeeze under you and do number 11, if you don't mind. Hope I'm not in your way. All right, yeah, there we go. So number 11, they accomplish the will of their native land. Okay, number 9 is the one you're working on?
Hmm.
The goddess destroys many wicked souls. Many souls. This needs to be accusative plural.
Yeah, psychos.
Yeah, so you want to throw an alpha in there? Okay, let's just start at the top and work through these. Okay, so now we're going to go over what we just did here. Okay, so let me get on the right page here. Okay, number 1. So we said, who is singing the evil plans of the fair goddesses? So who is singing? T. Saivi, that's right. Okay. The evil plans, Vulas Kakas, that's good, of the fair goddesses. So we're in Homeric Greek. So in, you're thinking like classical Greek or biblical Greek, where you have the word the. Remember, we don't use the.
Yours.
There's no the in Homeric Greek. So it's just theaon, and then this should be also kalaon, because you're in biblical Greek mode. So, yeah. Here, let me just erase that for you.
Yep.
Okay, so. Yeah, you got to get in Homeric mode here. Let's work on these omegas, man. These omegas, I want to see more than just a little dip. That little dent. Come on. There we go. All right. Okay, so number 2 was the roar of the sea is pleasing to the soul of the goddess in Scylla. So the roar of the sea, Klangi Thalassis, Andhani, is pleasing, Psihi, to the soul, Theos, of the goddess, and Kili. Right? Everything look okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, number 3.
Oh, but you forgot the accents.
Ah, very good. Okay.
I think I forgot the breathing mark here on it.
Andhani. And then, breathing mark right there. Okay, so yeah, I did forget some accents. Andhani, Psihi, Theos, and Kili. Okay? So, number 3. We do not dishonor the goddesses of the dear fatherland. So, Uch Atimazomen, we do not dishonor Theos, the goddesses. And then again, here, you got to get out of this.
Yeah.
You don't use the word the in Homeric Greek. So basically, it's just like that of the dear fatherland, right? Yeah, of patris philos. Okay, but this, the accent, it always persists with the word philos.
Mm.
Or.
So it's philis.
Philis. That's where it goes. So, uch atimazomen theos.
So should that be uk instead of uch?
Patris.
What do you think?
Yes, it should, because the uch with the chi is for rough breathing. And atimazomen is a smooth breathing. So it should be just a kappa. Yep. Okay, got it. Looks good. All right, so let's go to number 4. Are you going from Chrysa to Scylla by the sea? Meaning like Scylla by the seaside. So are you going Veneta from Chrysi, ek Chrysis, es Kilin, right, to Scylla, epi Thalassi? by the seaside, Dative? Question mark.
Yeah.
Any problems?
No.
All right. Number five. The goddesses come from the sea into Scylla. So Theia, let's get an accent on that. Okay. Theia, Venusine, right? So the goddesses come or go. Ek Thalassis. So from the sea, let's get rid of that accent above the Ida, right?
You have to erase it.
Oh, here you go.
Thanks.
Okay, and then the accent on this place, Scylla, persists on the first syllable. Mm. So is it going to be a circumflex or an acute? This is long.
Yeah.
So that's?
An acute.
An acute, exactly. Okay. But looks good, right?
Is that the right case, though?
No, that's the wrong case, because it's east takes accusative. So what do we need to do?
Killing.
Yep, there you go. East Keeling. Very good. So, Thea Venusine Ek Thalassis East Keeling. Because remember with our cases, when we're coming from somewhere, it's typically in the genitive. When you're going toward somewhere, it's typically accusative. And if you're already at it, like at the seaside, Epi Thalassi, then it's dative.
Yeah.
Okay. So that one's good. Number six. They are burning funeral pyres in the fatherland. So, Keusi, Pyrrhos, and Patri.
Yep.
Everything okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Number seven. They have many fair plans. So, Echusi. So, let's get an accent after that breathing mark. Yep. Echusi, Polas, Ke, Kalas. Look at that hendiadys in action. You got it. Vulas, except this should not be grave. This should be acute because it's the end of the sentence.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't have anything following it.
Yeah.
So, kalas, vulas, right? So, they have many good plans. Is that what it was supposed to say? They have many fair plans. All right, and then I had this dumb one for number eight. We loosen, you loosen, and he is loosening. Ba-ba. Everything okay? All right. Number nine. The goddess destroys many wicked souls. So Thea, Oleki, right? The goddess destroys. Polas, and it was many wicked souls. So we could have said Psychas Polas Kekakas.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Using the hendiadys, right? So we could say like Kekakas.
Polas Psychas Kekakas?
I mean, the word order's all over the place, but I mean, really the best thing would be to just do Psychas Polas Kekakas.
Okay.
But honestly, when you actually start reading Homer, the word order is just everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the case endings tell you what things are doing in the sentence, the word order is just up for grabs. So when we actually start reading the text, there's going to be some really wild word order, unfortunately. So, okay, so number 10 is we escort the goddesses into the dear fatherland. So, Pebomen Theas Esphilin Patrin. Everything okay?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, cool. And then number 11 is they accomplish the will of the fatherland or of their native land. So, Teleusi Vulin Patris. It's a lot longer in English, huh? They accomplish the will of their native land. It's just Teleusi Vulin Patris. That's it, right? All right, and then number 12, he's making a funeral pyre. Tefri Pirin. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then lastly, what does he bring? Teferi.
Yep, that's easy.
Teferi.
That should be a grave,
yep. All right, coolness. That's it. You know what, though? For some reason, though, they don't use a grave on these. I don't know why. I think on these question words, because I was looking at this example, and they don't actually... For some reason, because in the example there was a question "ti ferite," and it didn't use it. So I think actually with these question words they don't end up getting a grave for some reason. So we're just gonna leave it as acute. All right, so that's it for lesson 5, and we'll see you in lesson 6.